Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
You reacted to what I wanted with disgust.
Yes.
With disgust. Disgust. Because it's not classy, it's not country clubby.
That's not at all. It's more just there's a shift in our relationship where you are now fully embracing and entering that Grandpa Tony role. And now I'm beginning to see you as Ira. And I'm about to fire up the car, drive 45 minutes to go pick up some spices with you.
Cumin is what he used to go 45 miles to get. Cumin.
Slap a 20 on the counter.
Not in any recipes at all.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
As Lyndon Johnson used to say, it is with a heavy heart that I talk about what I'm going to talk about now. I'm going to get up. I'm sitting down. I'm going to get up. Everybody else can talk for a second. I'm going to model for my son what these socks that he got me.
Before we get to the socks, I can't believe you're coming after cumin. What, you don't make chili? Don't make enchiladas?
Oh, yeah.
rice and beans?
If I had a small thing of McCormick's cumin, it would last me for the rest of my life and other people's.
Bootsies as well.
And this is a question just for us. Have you started to save the styrofoam meat packaging from the Safeway?
No, my father used to do that. He used to take the food out of the styrofoam. He would wash out the styrofoam and stack the styrofoam. And I said, Dad, have you ever been to a supermarket where they're not packing these things in styrofoam? And he says, no. Why? I said, because there's all the styrofoam you want all the days of your life. And then I would take the styrofoam, rip it down from a cabinet and throw it out. But now I'm going to do this. So Michael, take over the show.
All right. Well, we are now going to have Dad model his, as requested, gold toe socks that he picked these out. These are over the knee. Is that correct, Nigel?
Over the knee, I think, would be an accurate way of describing it.
All the way. He's trying to pull his jeans over his knee and he can't do it.
And just to describe this, so you just said this the other day. It's like he's playing baseball in 1935.
Yes, where his dad described, how would
the
you...
Sannies. Just, yeah. I'm wearing the
sanitary socks right under his...
Yeah. I said I want them tired. Michael offered to get...
Crew socks. Standard crew socks.
Which are like, halfway up your calf, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
The way he described them...
Yeah.
The way he described them, I just did not think they were large enough.
Trust Gold Toe.
Yesterday, I opened the package, and I could tell right away... Ooh, these were longer than I thought. Now, I like the fact that they're tube socks, that they are amorphous.
Right.
I mean,
no structure.
You have some sense of how to put them on because you want the gold toe on the toe.
But that's the only direction.
Not on the heel. That's all you've
got. Yeah, but it's not like a fitted sock.
And I began to put them on and pull them up and pull them up and pull them up. And I went, oh, dear God.
Yeah.
I was wrong. What do I do with them now? I'm wearing
one
pair.
No, you now have to wear these for the next 2 years. Mm. Step one, we should have realized, the previous package came in a package of six.
Yes.
A six-pack.
Right.
Pretty
right.
Standard when you're picking up new socks.
Right.
This, as soon as you saw a package of three, they're dealing with some extra material that they're trying to fit in there.
They're too high.
Would you like some stirrup socks to go with them?
They're too high.
Eye black?
I can only, yeah...
Lineup cards do.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw mine. That's exactly like mine.
I have these in compression socks, and you want them in compression socks.
Yeah.
You want them on your thigh if you can get them up there, because that's the whole purpose of it. But these are not compression socks, and these are too big, and I can't wear these with anything other than long pants.
Oh,
if I attempted to wear these with shorts, although you do see people wearing these very high... stocking-like socks when they're running or when they're working out.
Yeah, running tights or like a shooting sleeve.
Yeah, but they're not white like this. They're not.
These are for long pants only.
These are just...
The good news for you is that your first guess about where to buy socks, you can go to Target today, curbside. You can say hi to your pharmacist. We can get you a six-pack of gold-toe crew socks.
Crew, that's what I want, crew. I was
and you'll
so
actually
adamant.
Save like $4 versus this medical grade three pack that I got you.
I was so
I'm still
adamant.
Waiting for reimbursement.
I was so adamant about this. Oh, I owe you, how much do I owe you, $20?
It's gone up to 25.
Well, no.
The vig is running?
Awful. Yeah.
All right, let me get to something else. From Olivia Pfeiffer. Hi, Tony. My boyfriend Nick is a religious listener to your show. He walks around the house with noise-canceling headphones on and pretends he can't hear me to listen to you critique ads and talk about license plates and double speed. This week, I was invited to be a video call-in guest for Andy Cohen's Watch What Happens Live show. I don't know what that is.
I'm not overly familiar with it. I know Andy Cohen.
All I know about him is that he's produced a number of shows that have been hits, and he's on with Anderson Cooper on New Year's Eve. That's all I know about him.
Usually, like, overserved on New Year's Eve.
Is that right? Well, he's bombed?
There's a memo about that.
The CNN people can't be.
But, no, right. Don't do this to me.
So it's called Watch What Happens Live. The casting agent,
star.
And Olivia continues to write, the casting agent says Andy loves Bravo super fan couples. I don't know what that is. And I asked my boyfriend to do it with me, and he said hard no, even though he watches Below Deck with me every night. I tried to explain that to me. This was like Tony giving him the opportunity to call into the Tony Kornheiser show. He said, if you can get Tony to tell me to do it, I will. So here I am shooting my shot. What do we think?
Has to do it.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Do it for the marriage. And you enjoy the show.
Yeah, I mean, it might be fun. And by the way, there's always the chance that if Nick hates it and it's a live show, he can trash it beyond comprehension and do something nobody's ever done. I mean, he holds the cards. Yes.
Have a show like this. This would be like if Liz and I could go on House Hunters.
All right, so definitely do it, right?
Yes, I think
so. Come on, Nick, you can do that.
Yeah.
I wanted to get to one other thing. There is a story in the Washington Post today about the sale of the Washington Nationals. And the spine of the story is that it now appears that they're not going to be sold outright 100%. That now they may be taking on partners. Now, these partners down the road may have the opportunity to buy the whole thing, but now they're taking on partners. And if I read this correctly, there's a line in the story that says what the Nats were hoping for with a full sale was $2.4 billion. $2.4 billion, like the Mets got in 2020. Prior to that, in 2019, the Kansas City Royals got $1 billion to sell. And in 2018, the Miami Marlins got $1.2 billion to sell. That's not that long ago. That's 4 years ago and 5 years ago, barely into 5 years because it's now only the middle of January. I don't know much about money. I'm astonished by this. Are you telling me that the Phoenix Suns can go for $4 billion and you're hoping with a baseball team to get $2.4 billion? Baseball has 162 game schedule.
In half the year.
Yeah, 81 home games.
It has much larger facilities. The average attendance is much greater at a baseball team in the main than at a basketball team. Now, I think the guy, I think his name is Matt Ibisha, the Michigan State kid who agreed to buy the Phoenix Suns for $4 billion. Yeah. I think he's insane to spend that much money.
Yeah.
But I also thought that Steve Ballmer, for whom money is nothing, money is meaningless to Steve Ballmer. I thought he was crazy to spend $2 billion 10 years ago on the Los Angeles Clippers, but at least you could say it's Los Angeles. I don't know how this works. I assume this works because the national television contracts on baseball stink compared to the national television contracts from ESPN and Turner on basketball. But I don't know how we live in a world where the Phoenix Suns are worth $4 billion and the Washington Nationals are begging for $2.4 billion. You have thoughts on this?
Yeah, I've actually got a lot of thoughts on this. I think one of it, you have to look at your own personal portfolios and take a look at what your year-to-date has been, not in the first 2 weeks here where you've seen a rebound in the markets, but take a look at how much your positions
last
have gone
year was
down.
Brutal.
Yeah, so if you're trying to turn some of that into cash to, say, buy a baseball team, that wouldn't have been a great time to get out because you're just losing all that value. But you look at, say, the national TV contracts for basketball versus all the power in baseball seems to be in these
local
regional networks.
Local.
We don't happen to own ours.
That's right. It's a bad deal.
And it seems like it's this legal wormhole that really there is no way out because of the concessions that Major League Baseball had to make to get a team here.
People need to go back on this and understand it. The Baltimore Orioles had the Washington market for a lot of years.
Yeah.
And 20 to 25% of their ticket base was in the Washington market. And you said to them, we're going to put a team in Washington 40 miles down the road, and you're going to lose all of that. So they said, then give us the TV deal. At the time, it seemed fair to me. Now, I don't know if it's fair in perpetuity.
Yeah,
I don't know about that because it's how many years now?
Yeah, you'd look at an X amount of years for that.
It's 20 years.
The timing of that's also very problematic just in the sense that the Orioles have gone through a 5 or 6 year rebuild and all of a sudden have a very exciting young team.
Yeah, they're pretty good. At
and
really
let's say you go
division.
To MLB.com and take a look at projected future fun winners of the World Series. You're seeing the Orioles names a lot and they have young stars that you want to watch.
Yeah. But they got the catcher who's really good.
There was a long time when they were just dreadful though.
Yes, and nobody went to their games.
No, not even people
and they
that
could
lived
say,
in Baltimore.
They could take a picture of their stands and they could say, this is what you did to us.
Yeah.
They could take a picture of the Washington stands and their stands and say, you did this to us, and that's why we own this television network, this regional network. But they have to resolve this. And again, somebody smarter than me, and there's only, I don't know, 14 billion people who fit that category, can explain to me how the Phoenix Suns are worth $4 billion.
I think you also have to take a look at the global picture as to what the NFL means, what the NBA means, and what Major League Baseball means, and look at the pockets around the world, very rich pockets, that those leagues are having an
appeal to. Basketball is a worldwide sport.
And you take a look at, we always talk about the brotherhood of the NFL owners, take a look at what it means to be an owner of an NBA team. So you also have here in the last year.
They're not even owners, they're just governors.
Governors. You have the potential for...
That is so phony. That's so pretentious and phony.
I mean, think about how often you're now having another baseball team up for sale. You're going back 5-6 years for some of these numbers, and now all of a sudden you're like, well, Anaheim. You're looking at what's always happening in the rest of the league.
Well, and NBA teams are not up for sale unless an owner is kicked out. They're not. People are happy with the NBA teams.
Yeah.
They're happy.
I wonder how many days of the year Wilbon spends in Arizona, and if it's significantly more, and that adds to the value
the Suns. It might, the Suns, because you're going to get Wilbon showing up. And I guess he's not showing up at the Nats.
No, probably not.
Anyway, I read it, and it was jaw-dropping for me.
That's
based
stunning.
On the Suns. But again, that's the Suns thing. Maybe that's... I want that to be an anomaly, but maybe it isn't.
I think maybe that's probably more likely that there's a lot of countries that support basketball in that way that have gobs and gobs of money. And then you look again, you look at the Nats and what they've done since that announcement made that we were looking for potential, sales.
They've lost every game they play.
Every game, and there's no sign that you're coming out of the bottom. And the NL East now looks like it's a 10-year climb.
If you take Strasburg's contract and Corbin's contract out of their payroll, you could take their payroll and go to Safeway and buy 3 weeks worth of groceries.
Not even the discounted ice cream.
That's it. Right. The discontinued $2.97. Yeah.
Seasonal
Belgian
flavors.
Chocolate chip. It's really good.
We got an emailer who found an even better deal on ice cream. Was thrilled because he knew how excited you would be.
It's not for like Turkey Hill, is it?
No, I think it was Haagen-Dazs. It was something like 94 cents for a pint or something like
94
that.
94 cents? Yeah, somebody had eaten some of it already.
Partially eaten. All right.
Yeah, that's what I worried about last night when I opened it. I mean, it still had it had the cover and it had the
plastic on
it. Yeah, I was happy.
Did it have a little bit of freezer burn already been opened?
No, it didn't. It was good. All right. Jason Lockenfora, when we return, I'm Tony Kornheiser.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a song called Get Up that has nothing to do with Mike Greenberg and the Get Up era that we all now live in. This is written by and done by Washington, D.C. singer-songwriter and bassist Eric Scott. Eric has released 5 albums of his own songs and toured internationally, sharing the stage with B.B. King, Mavis Staples, Pink Floyd's Roger Waters, and others. His songs have been featured on ABC, Showtime, the WB, and on national ads for Ford, Chevy, and the D.C. Lottery. And Eric, Ronnie Neumeier writes to us, will be one of 20 performers at the album tribute to Bruce Springsteen and Van Morrison tonight at the Birchmere. Tonight. If you don't have something to do tonight that requires you to do it, do this. Go to the Birchmere and watch this show. Tickets are available online or at the door. And Eric Scott is also a big D.C. sports fan. He's played a lot of shows before games at the bullpen at Nationals Park and at FedEx Field. That's nice. Again, this is called Get Up. It plays in Jason Lockenfora. I wanted to start with this because we talked about it yesterday on PTI, that 3 different dog teams, the Denver Broncos, the Arizona Cardinals, and the Houston Texans, have received permission to talk to Sean Payton, which doesn't necessarily mean Sean Payton wants to talk to them. But do you read anything into these interviews with Sean Payton?
Well, I think everyone, for obvious reasons, would want it. Audience with him, the way the NFL rules work, and they've added a couple of layers to the interviewing process this year in terms of now what teams are required to do to interview coordinators. They've moved the timing of when you can and can't interview people around, so there's a limited window right now, and he, you know, as long as he's not on air with Fox, he's someone who has way more flexibility and availability. So if you want an audience with Sean Payton, now's the time to get it. But Sean Payton isn't in any hurry because he knows as well as I know that the Chargers, the Dolphins, the Cowboys, by Monday morning, one or more of those jobs could be open as well. So, you know, it's kind of the way the process of the dance, and there's various machinations. And, again, the rules can be a little bit difficult to follow, again, especially this year where it's the first year of more levels and layers added to how you have to proceed. But there's also a very good chance that, and I wrote about this weeks ago at the Washington Post, that Sean Payton looks at this entire field and says,
I'll wait.
Meh. You know?
Yeah. So this is what I wanted to get to. Sean Payton is a likely Hall of Fame coach. He wins 63% of his games. He's got a winning record in the playoffs. He makes quarterbacks better, at least he did with Drew Brees. So that if you were, for example, Denver, and you had a small quarterback like Russell Wilson, who stunk this year, regardless of what Wilbon says, pinning all of it on the coach, not all of it goes to the coach.
No.
Some of it goes to Russell Wilson. You would want Sean Payton because you're stuck with Russell Wilson for 4 more years, and Sean Payton has made a quarterback like that work. But this is the question. Does Sean Payton want ownership? And I don't mean for him to own it, but ownership that is cooperative with him. Does he want location? Does he want control? Do we know what Sean Payton wants, Jason?
Yeah, I think all of the above matters. I mean, you laid out his credentials. He's set apart from this field.
Yes.
He'd be set apart from the rest of the field in almost any coaching cycle. So that absolutely gives him the luxury. He's got the power of no for a multitude of reasons. And yeah, the more boxes you can check, the better. Do any of these and check all of them? No. There's some that come closer than others. And also the Rams. I should have put the Rams in that category.
Because we don't know.
With 3 other jobs, there's likely to be. Of those 4 now, I think at least 2 open up by this time. Certainly by this time next week, probably sooner. But what does he want? He wants an ownership that is passionate about giving him all the resources he needs and also very passionate about staying out of the way. That's what he had in New Orleans, especially when the transition went from Tom Benson to Gail Benson. So that's important. He's going to want the ability to bring in his own football operations staff, likely to be headed by Jeff Ireland, former GM in this league, and Ryan Pace, a former GM in this league. And so he's going to want that. He's going to want final authority over the important decisions in that building. And then, yeah, location, sure. Existing assets, yeah. Quarterback, absolutely. Yeah. Quarterback's probably much higher on that, or at least a path to a generational quarterback. The one that I feel like is the sleeper in all this is Houston. It checks a fair amount of those boxes, and Houston, and now again, they'd have to blow out Nick Caserio, the GM, and to this point, the owner said, I'm not doing that, but those things tend to change, especially when you can get someone like Sean Payton. I think they check a fair amount of those boxes, and even if he wanted to punt on this year's quarterback class, I know he's infatuated with the kid at USC.
Caleb Williams, yeah.
Yeah, and he's right there in Southern California. And I'm sure he's seen him play a bunch of times. And, you know, that owner's been willing to tank for so long that even if there's a plan where you assess some of the roster this year, you maybe trade down a little bit to get more assets for next year to try to put yourself in the best position to get him, you know, that wouldn't stun me either.
Let me get to two.
Any of these jobs, like Miami, you know, the Chargers, I think they would be on a little bit of a different tier for him.
Right. I'm going to do two very specific questions. One with Houston. Their ownership was so awful in the Deshaun.
He's been a clown to this point.
That's in the Deshaun Watson thing. I'd be very leery of them. But you're saying Miami. This rookie coach at Miami, he graduated from Yale. He's a great talker. When Tua was healthy, they won every single game. He's going to get canned?
Well, you know, you have to look at the owner there. I mean, he lost a first-round pick trying to tamper to get
Brady.
Tom Brady and Sean Payton.
Right.
Now I can get him. Now, it's not for free because you're going to have to give up picks for Sean Payton.
Right.
But that's negotiable. You can push that into the future. I mean, Stephen Ross, this is someone who put a succession plan in place five or six years ago and then has had to tear it up. Like, that's how long he's been thinking about the end game, and then he tore it up because of the tampering situation. But he knows that this is not for long for him. And if all those other pieces are in place and I can go from, you know, this young, smart head coach to this proven winner, and I can bring the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL with him, and I know that Sean Payton will help me identify the guy to replace Brady in a year or two, I think the allure of that would be very significant. And if Sean Payton's looking at win immediately propositions, that was already a playoff team despite the quarterback situation. They got to build up the defense, but yeah, I think that's certainly something to keep an eye on next week.
That's a stunner to me. Let me go stay with coaching for a second. Jim Harbaugh, who, whenever there's a rumor about Jim Harbaugh has started the rumor.
Yeah.
He knows how to place these things. He's an unbelievable narcissist. He also, his record in the NFL is stunning. It's like 47-20. It's unbelievable. Yeah. Is he a serious candidate in the NFL?
I think it's Indianapolis or bust for him. I mean, he's someone who, you know, if he wants to talk to you about your job, you will listen. It requires an inordinate amount of sort of mental energy to work with him on a daily basis. It's going to be a grind. He's going to be very demanding.
Yes.
He's going to be wildly aloof at times. He's going to point the finger at anybody other than him when it does get a little rough. Like, there's a lot that goes on there. The style of offense he wants to play is kind of a throwback. I don't know, man. And he's going to want, like Sean Payton, he's going to want all that other stuff, except I don't know that he's as good at all that other stuff, including developing quarterbacks and especially the personnel side. So, like, is it possible? Yeah. I think it was very telling in Minnesota last year when they went through that whole process with him and was like, nah, we want the young up and coming.
That didn't offer.
You know what I mean? We want to go with a completely different culture than that. We just had that with Zimmer on the defensive side of the ball. You know, we need to exhale here. We need a little bit of space. So I think him and Irsay, again, they go way back. I don't know who else Irsay's going to get. who's got anything close to Harbaugh's record. I'm working on a little pet theory. Like, if that happened, I could see him putting the band together with Greg Roman, who's going to get fired in Baltimore 5 seconds after their season ends, and then they trade for Justin Fields and put Justin Fields on that turf in a dome playing Harbaugh ball, running the Kaepernick offense for him. And it could be actually kind of interesting.
I like that theory. Let me get to something very close to home for you, Lamar Jackson.
The reason
that you want Lamar Jackson, if you're Baltimore, is because in the games that he's missed, they've averaged 12 points. It's awful. You cannot win. Even though they've won a couple of games, it's awful. The reason you don't want him is because you may not trust him anymore. You may think that he's made a business decision to hang you out to dry and not play in the playoffs for you. Those things are competing with one another. Every day I see John Harbaugh being asked about this question. He says, we want him. But they don't have him. They could have had him. Other people, Dak Prescott got money. Kyler Murray got money. Lamar Jackson's better than them. Yep. Why has this not happened?
The owner hasn't wanted to pay him what he wants. And this all goes back to when Josh Allen got signed. And they were not evaluating him anywhere close to Josh Allen at that time. Well, they weren't, contractually, they weren't thinking of him in those terms. And then the Allen deal happened, and everything I've reported from that point on is that they still never really got close. And then, you know, they took a gamble, and the gamble blew up in their face because, of course, the quarterback market went bonkers since then. People knew it would, and then the Deshaun Watson thing happened, and now the specter of fully guaranteed contracts, you know, not just for a couple of years like Kirk Cousins, but for, you know, a multitude of years while the guy still has an existing contract that's only a few years old, that put it over the top. And the owner wants nothing to do with that sort of contract structure. He's barely said a word in 5 years, but you can find him documented whining and crying about Deshaun Watson's contract publicly. So that's it. And, you know, win me a Super Bowl, kid, and maybe I'll think about paying you. And
so he's gone.
If they win a Super Bowl, it's not going to be with him. And any time you let something fester like that and you have a talent of this magnitude and he's playing for a contract that he's had nothing to do with. He has never gotten one penny more than what the collective bargaining agreement laid out his first 5 years could possibly be. Like, that's it. Like, it's not, you know what I mean? Like, no extra incentives, no extra bonuses, no sweetening the pot.
And he's the MVP.
Nothing. And there's a litany of players who have done nothing compared to him, whose teams have continually bent over backwards for them to placate them and keep throwing money at them. Even if they're 40 years old, they stink, they're narcissists, and they want to hang your organization out to dry every offseason.
Green Bay.
Yeah.
So, like, it is what it is. Yeah, do you think it's personal? Of course, it's business and it's personal. And it's over. And we'll see how many picks and players they can get for him, and we'll see if they turn those picks into good players, because that hasn't happened with this GM very often. And that'll be that. But no, this is there's no putting the toothpaste back in the bottle. There's no, you know, there's no making this work.
Okay, that's what I thought.
He's going to get tagged and he's going to get traded.
Yes,
and I suspect it happens sooner rather than later, because once you tag him, he doesn't get paid till week one next year. So he has no motivation to be around your building for anything. And you can't find him. He just doesn't sign the contract. So, again, that's not anything he's doing. That's the rules that were collectively bargained for him while he was in middle school. So, yeah.
It's good to know. Plug your radio show for us.
Oh, we'll be talking about this plenty.
From
2 to 6
yep.
Every weekday from now until they trade Lamar Jackson. Again, I think probably right around the combine. Late next month. Playoffs, all that good stuff.
He's a rare talent. This is so crazy.
Yeah, it doesn't get to this point very often, but
no.
They missed their sweet spot. But our sweet spot is 2 to 6 weekdays on 105.7 The Fan. You can listen on the Odyssey app, www.1057thefan.com.
Tremendous.
Have a great weekend, guys.
You too, Jason. Thank you. Jason Lockenfora is just the best. He's just the best. We'll take a break. Maybe Carville. It's always 50-50. Jeff Ma, though. We can depend on Jeff Ma. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
In celebration of opening day, we've got a special episode of the Moth Podcast for you. The theme is baseball and the surprising ways it connects people.
I gaze out at the players on the field, and then I look over at my dad, and I realize that in the silence between us that something has changed. It's like I'm seeing him for the first time.
Two stories about baseball, family, and so much more. The episode's available right now. Subscribe to the Moth Podcast to make sure you hear it.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The singer here is Tony DeNikos. The song is called The Loner. And once again, we're going to plug Ronnie Neumeier's band tonight. January 13th, Friday night, tonight at the Birchmere. Ronnie is doing a tribute to two albums that he knows we are fond of at this show, Moondance by Van Morrison and The Wild, The Innocent, and The East Street Shuffle, which I believe is Liz Clark's favorite album from Bruce Springsteen.
I think you're correct, yes.
Did you know Springsteen's first two albums, both were released 50 years ago in 1973? I am old. God, I am old. This is Tony DeNikos, the just won the silver prize in the Mid-Atlantic Song Contest. It's called The Loner, off his Gravity Winds album. And again, go tonight to the Birchmere. You can get in there and you can watch the tributes to Van Morrison and to Bruce Springsteen by Ronnie Neumeier and his band. Michael, if people want to send in their original music or Ronnie wants to send it in, how they do it?
Send us your music by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
James Carville joins us now. James had no exotic bets last week. James had no triple plays, no quintuple plays. James did a straight seven-game card and was 4-3. And his record is 65-38-3. That's over 100 games bet, and he's going at 67-68%. He is killing it. You're doing so great. Makes me so happy. You feel good about yourself?
I do. I got to say, this year has been so much fun. I'm not gonna lie about it. It's a blast because you and I have been doing this for a long time.
Yep.
Like sports betting has become everybody in the world. Who you got? Who you like? It's become America's pastime. Is sports betting.
And you're doing great. What do you got for us this week?
All right, we're gonna throw a lot of spaghetti at the wall.
Okay.
I see the Seattle 49ers game.
Yes.
I see 9.5.
9.5, Seattle plus 9.5.
9.5, make you laugh. I'll go with the 49ers.
Okay.
Seattle's healthier. Look, you're in for a penny, you're in for a pound. So I'm in for a penny, so I'm in for a pound. I got to take the 49ers.
Okay. What else?
San Diego Chargers playing the Jaguars.
Yep.
I got Jaguars 1.5.
1.5.
Plus 1.5, right?
They are plus 1.5.
Yes.
The Chargers are a road favorite, yes.
The Chargers are the Los Angeles Angels. They look good on paper.
Right.
Every time. Goddamn, this team's going to be good. I think Chargers have good-looking uniforms.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. But I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be a top-tier NFL quarterback.
So you will take Jacksonville?
I'll take Jacksonville.
Okay, what else?
Then we got the Dolphins go to Buffalo.
Miami plus 9 at the moment.
It's plus
Buffalo. Buffalo. You get it at 9. Buffalo.
Okay, I'm giving it to you at 9.
The actual line is 13.5 now.
Oh, really? Todd.
Chuck got it at 9.
Chuck got it at 9, so we're giving it to James at 9.
Yes.
Buffalo.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
All right, the Jinx.
Yep.
They're the Vikings. Now, this is the person that last week said that I thought Georgia was overrated.
Yes. Yes. You may have been slightly askew on that one. That was only 65-7.
Well, I have the impeccable logic of they beat Ohio State by 1.
Right.
All right. And, TCU barely beat Michigan, and Michigan beat Ohio State, ergo, I'm broke.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Ergo, I'm broke. Right.
I can't believe I'm 78 years old and still engaging in that kind of logic and mentality. But I did, and I'll acknowledge it, all right?
All right.
My friends in Georgia never let me, and I got a lot of them, never let me live this down, right?
You got the Giants or Minnesota?
Right. and we got the Ravens and the Bengals.
Wait. Who you got in this game? Giants or Minnesota?
Minnesota giving three.
Okay, you're taking plus three. Giants plus three. Okay.
Tony, I'm over. I forget. I started a sentence. You know, these papers they all scream about Biden. You know what happened?
What?
He forgot about them.
Well, I understand that, but Merrick Garland had to do that. He had to do that. No question.
Everybody in America says, that old man forgot where he put them. I forget my car keys. All right?
Right. Yeah, they're usually in the refrigerator. Okay.
I forget the game I'm betting on. So it's the Ravens at the Bengals. All right, I'm going to say this. However good the national media or whatever that is, you know, whatever they think about Joe Burrow, they have not gotten to the right place yet. And the right place is he's destined to become one of the greatest NFL quarterbacks of all time.
The
Bengals.
It is very possible that when it's all said and done, that Burrow to Ja'Marr Chase is up there with Montana to Rice. It's possible.
Absolutely.
Right? So you'll take them. Well, they don't even have a quarterback, Baltimore. They don't have anybody. So you're going to take Cincinnati.
Yeah. But I just think Burrow, you know, of course, it's shaped by my 2019 LSU season. I was talking to a friend of mine, but if they had 3rd and 8, you didn't give a shit. You knew he was going to make it.
Yeah.
You posted him go up 2 beats.
He can do it.
Same thing in the pros.
He's very, very good. Okay, you got one more game. Dallas, Tampa Bay.
Dallas is maybe the most overrated franchise on the field in sports.
Yes. Yeah.
And I don't think any of, you know, Bill Parcells says your record is what you says you are.
Yep.
Well, the record this year is good. Their record in playoff games is not so good. I'm going to go with the home team.
You go Tampa Bay. And you're going to get 2.5.
Yeah, 2.5.
You're going to get 2.5.
I need them.
Are you going to get them?
So. I like points. I'm not scared of points.
It's a pleasure.
I've always depended on kindness of strangers.
Thank you, Tennessee Carville. Thank you for that. How many times have we seen that play? That's a great play. Thank you, James. Best to everybody.
Man.
James Carville.
Thank you, that.
And throwing a little Blanche in there.
Fantastic. Only cursed twice that we know. 3 times.
Let's see if Nigel can find the ball.
So you're not going to hear it. We're going to do it. He is, he's fabulous. It's thrilling to me that, I mean, you got to be probably in your 40s to remember that James Carville was the driving force behind Bill Clinton. When Bill Clinton announced that he was going to be president, when he was running for president, when he was a governor of Arkansas, it was greeted in the United States of America with not even a yawn. Nobody knew who he was. And then 1.5 years later, he's president of the United States, and Carville and Stephanopoulos they're driving the bus.
Yes.
They're driving the bus. Yes. Do we have Jeff Ma?
We do indeed.
Jeff was 3-1 last week, a good week for Jeff, and he had the national championship game right as opposed to Carville. He is 49-37-1, so you're making money. You're making money with Jeff Ma. Jeff, what do you like this week? And is wild cards, it's a very odd circumstance because every one of these matchups has been played already this season. Does that figure in to the betting, and would you say that's overrated or underrated?
I think it's probably overrated. I think people tend to look for patterns and past history that it's like human nature, right? We all look for sort of patterns that we think can predict the future, and they're not incredibly predictive oftentimes. I actually think it's overrated.
Okay. All right. What have you got for us?
I'm actually going to, you know, try to put myself on a level playing field with Chuck Todd and try to pick all the games for us this week.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So,
although Chuck had to pick, what did he pick? He picked Baltimore over Cincinnati. Lamar Jackson's out. I mean, there's zero chance on that. Okay, what do you got on Seattle, San Francisco?
What do you guys have as the line?
We have San Fran giving 10. Actually, I think we gave it to Carville at 9.
Nine and a half. Yeah. Because we gave it to Chuck at 9.5.
Yeah. So we'll offer that to you as well.
We'll offer
that. They all picked San Francisco, I assume.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I'm actually going to take Seattle, and this is actually a game where I think the overall metrics are clear towards Seattle in this, where Seattle shouldn't be getting nearly 10 points. I mean, the theory here, right, is a little bit in looking at patterns where Seattle hasn't been able to score at all against the San Francisco team. And so, that, you know, you're getting sort of that bonus for there. But San Francisco still has a first-year quarterback in his first playoff game.
And, yes.
You know, I think they are definitely a favorite to make to the Super Bowl and maybe even win the Super Bowl, I just think 10 points is too many here. So I'll take Seattle plus the 10.
We will give you 10. All right, what about the Chargers?
So the Chargers-Jacksonville is an interesting game where it's opened at 1.5, went down to even, is now up to 2.5 and may even climb higher. I actually like Jacksonville in this game. I think they are at home. I think Doug Peterson's a better coach than Staley. I think he'll have them better prepared. I think their offense is better than Jacksonville. I mean, better than the Chargers. I think you're looking at a situation where people see Herbert and see what they believe the Chargers should be versus what they really are. I like Jacksonville. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw the statement about Herbert, about that Staley made about Mike Williams not needing to practice this week because he doesn't need reps. Well, maybe he didn't need reps last week in a meaningless game that got him injured. So, this wasn't a smart move by the Chargers to play as many, starters for as long as they did last week. And I think that actually will come back and hurt them here. So I like Jacksonville as the underdog.
Okay. Miami, Tua is out. This thing opened at 9, but I don't know what it is now. It's got to be a lot more.
13.5 now.
What do you like?
I just have to take Miami plus the 13.5, and I have to believe McDaniel's smart enough to make something work offensively. We're looking at Skylar Thompson and, thinking a lot about what he did last week against the Jets. But the Jets do have a good defense, and hopefully he will come up with something to get the ball in the hands of his playmakers, Waddle and Hill, to make plays. So I'll take Miami plus the 13.5.
Okay. Giants?
I'm going to take Minnesota minus the 3. I just think it's a situation where they're the home team. Although they've really been documented as a very overrated team, again, sometimes in these spots where these teams are so quote-unquote overrated, they become a little bit underrated, and I'll take Miami minus the 3.
Minnesota. I feel that same way. I feel that I hate Minnesota. I do. I hate them. I would never trust them to get to the Super Bowl or win the Super Bowl. But I think they have this one game in them.
Sure.
And I think they're going to win. I do think they're going to win. And win pretty big, actually. All right, Baltimore, Cincinnati, and Lamar Jackson out.
Yeah, I'm going to take Baltimore plus the 9.5. The line is inflated. I mean, last week, I think everyone's looking at last week and the situation, and that line went up to, I think, 11 or 12 with Anthony Brown clearly the starter. But it wasn't just that Anthony Brown was the starter last week, which made the line go so high. It was very clear that Baltimore wasn't going to try to show anything and wasn't really even going to try that hard. But yet they still played a somewhat, it was a double-digit win but for Cincinnati. But Baltimore turned the ball over a bunch with Brown and had situations and was in position to cover that game. And I think as long as Huntley plays and is somewhat healthy, I mean, they say he's had tendonitis and he's having trouble throwing. I like them plus the 9.5. I do think this is a bit of an inflated line.
Okay. And the last game is Dallas-Tampa Bay.
Yeah, this is a tough one. I mean, I think we all saw Dallas last week. It was not impressive.
Brutal. Brutal.
Yeah, it was really ugly. And but now they're on the road against Tampa. Tampa's as healthy as they've been all year. I'm going to take Tampa plus the 2.5. Maybe goes up to 3 at game time, probably unlikely. It opened at 3 and got bit down pretty quickly to 2.5. But I'm going to take the home dog here in a situation where, it's McCarthy. I don't know. I guess I just think there's another Dallas here. Dallas is clearly a better team and more talented, but at home getting 2.5, I'm going to take Tampa.
I think that if the Chargers lose, I'm not certain that the coach is fired, although he could be. But I think if the Cowboys lose this game in Tampa, I think Mike McCarthy will be fired. What do you think?
I don't know. Jerry's pretty dug in on this McCarthy thing. He's been that way for whatever reason. I don't know if McCarthy has pictures of him or something, but this is like a situation where, I mean, in my mind, it seems clear that he should move on from McCarthy personally, but I've never thought much of him as coach, although he's won a Super Bowl.
He has.
I mean, I, again, you have to point the finger somewhere, and there certainly seems like McCarthy would be the place to point it.
Huh. That's the interesting thing. What's going to happen next Tuesday with all of these guys? Thank you, Jeff. By the way, as you well know, you went against Chuck Todd in 6 of the 7 games.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 6 of the 7. I was keeping track.
I did not know that, but there's only 6 games, Tony, so it couldn't have been 6.
Oh, 5 of the 6. 5 of the 6. The only one you agreed with him is he took Baltimore as well. You went the
all
other
right,
way.
Well, it's the showdown between the political pundit and whatever I am. So I'm excited.
Thank you, Jeff.
Bye, Tony.
Jeff Ma, boys and girls. We will come back with email and jingle. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mark Chapman. Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. Each week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua, and myself talk all things Premier League.
As a player, you don't have time to talk.
No.
You don't have time to make a plan. You just need to deal with wave after wave after wave.
We watched Coach Carter, and he said, oh, afterwards, the game's just about doing this for your teammates. And I remember looking around halfway through the film, and half the squad was asleep.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Speaking of Ronnie Neumeier, this is Ronnie Neumeier and Tom Lofgren. Again, the Birchmere tonight.
Here comes Tony's mailbag. Got your emails, faxes, and your notes. Here comes Tony's mailbag. Gonna read some.
You want to do the Bethesda Bagel ad for us?
Yes, Bethesda Bagels. We love them. You will as well. Just go to BethesdaBagels.com for the location in the D.C. area nearest you. Then pop on in and you'll be thrilled.
That's it for us today. Before we get to the mailbag, let me just say I want to rock your gypsy soul just like way back in the days of old. And together we will float into the mystic. That's Van Morrison and his music. Not that song necessarily. I don't know that that's on Moondance. Maybe it's on Moondance. But Van Morrison's songs will be highlighted tonight along with Bruce Springsteen's at the Birchmere.
If you went outside this morning about 5 a.m., sat on your porch, you could. It was Into the Mystic type of weather.
Yeah, it was.
Felt like a summer storm.
Foggy and rainy and thundery-ish. Everything is
When
ish.
Shall we three meet again?
Into the Mystic on that album.
There
yeah,
you
Come
go.
Running, Moondance, Everyone, and
there
It's
you
Stone
go.
Me, and Into
there
the Mystic.
There you go. Thanks to our guests today, Jason Lockenfora, James Carville, Jeff Ma. Thanks to our sponsor, Trade Coffee. Remember, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and Odyssey. If you get the show through Apple, please leave us a review.
TK Nerve is still active at johnnyo.com. I don't think you can double it up with some of their other sale items, but go check out the website and try and dress like Steve Young.
Yeah, Steve Young got a big box of that.
Good.
He's so happy.
Well, he's about to get another box.
So
the founder took notice.
Yeah, so happy. From Mark Elliott in Prospect, Kentucky, did you take a crust of bread to nosh on when you went to see the Pointer Sisters? And what inning did you leave? Stayed for all of it.
It's still my favorite memory of that 2019 run.
The crust of bread?
The look on your face when you shared that you had a crust of bread.
Mike from Burke. Now in Charlottesville, haven't heard from him in a while. I could not let this sentence from you uttered on Monday's pod go unquestioned. You said in the context of the Camp Kiuma memories discussion, I always thought I could be a good water skier. Now then, let's recap. You can't swim except for a desperate breaststroke-ish dog paddle to avoid drowning.
Sure.
You have previously mentioned that you've never skied. I'm doubtful about your water skiing potential, but I suppose we will never know. Best wishes from the land of retirement. From Bobby Godfrey.
Aspirational.
It was aspirational. While it's true you don't have to be an elected official to be House Speaker, I think you should set your sights on a different job. Did you know that you don't have to be a lawyer to be appointed a Supreme Court Justice?
Ooh.
I think you should throw your hat in the ring next time there's an opening. Justice Kornheiser has a nice ring to it, don't you think? Yes. You could run the courtroom like Hot Bench. 9 justices, 9 opinions, 1 verdict. Hot SCOTUS. From Aaron Lieber. Let your Tel Aviv listeners know traffic in and out of the Festigal. Kids' winter song spectacular was apocalyptic. Clearly, Moses should have led our side of the street to Galena, Ohio instead. It's funny. From Michael Franchak. About the DC Burger King being closed. It says the owner, Mark James, said in 2018 the site was too expensive to run. I guess Mr. James tried to recoup the high operating costs with higher prices, at least for Mr. Tony. From Will Calicott in Aiken, South Carolina. I have been to Aiken, South Carolina. It is on the way to Augusta, Georgia. My daughter and her husband came to visit the day after Christmas, and good hosts that we are, we offered them sandwiches for lunch. My daughter began removing condiments from the refrigerator and noted quite correctly, expired, expired, expired.
That sounds like my wife.
It's not a David Aldrich moment, but it's something. From Jeff Barger in Hillsborough, North Carolina. Now that Dan Byrne has created songs about Victor Wembanyama and Kylian Mbappe, will he finish the French athlete trilogy with a song about Jean-Claude Killet?
We can hope.
Maybe. From Jeff Steiner in Coplay, not Coldplay, but Coplay, Pennsylvania. Since we seem to be playing the birthday game, I would like to submit my birthday of 11-18-57. I know it's nothing special, but I thought I could finally have an email read by the great Tony, as it is a legitimate birthday and I have no life. Okay. Papathayam writes us. On an early summer evening while home from college, I returned to my parents' house after playing a couple of hours of tennis. I'd missed dinner and went to retrieve my plate in the kitchen, some rice and a couple of pieces of chicken, which I left on the dinner table when I went to wash my hands. Upon my return, my dinner was down to the same amount of rice and just one piece of chicken. Hungry and unamused, I marched into my mother's bedroom to complain about her thieving ways. That was over a quarter century ago, and I can't remember why she was the primary suspect. I remember that my father wasn't home yet, and I suppose that my siblings had gone out after dinner. My mother was even less amused than I was by my accusation and invited me to immediately get out of her room. When I returned to the dining room, my meal was down to just the rice. At that point, about as angry as I was confused, I heard a crunching sound coming from outside on the deck where I found Lady, my non-masculine Rottweiler, finishing a chicken leg. I now had the who, but it was a few more months before I figured out the how, as she was barely tall enough to get her snout to the tabletop. My parents were hosting some friends and family for a New Year's Eve dinner a few months later, and I was home again for the holidays. Everyone was out on the deck enjoying cocktails when the turkey was placed on the dinner table inside. As I was coming out of my room with a direct line of sight to the dining room at the end of the hallway, I saw a lady standing on a chair with her front paws on the table, delicately pulling a leg off the turkey.
Good job, lady.
As our eyes met, she realized her predicament, and we both started running at the same time.
She likes dark meat.
She ran through the guests to the back of the deck, where I found her curled up on the floor, beaten. Unbelievably, that little thief managed to make me feel like the bad guy. From Jonathan Hillis, from Berkshire, New York, north of Binghamton, south of Cortland. Small town. A few years ago, my three-year-old fawn-colored Great Dane named Alice, 130 pounds, 35 inches high, ate 18 chocolate cupcakes and 2 9-inch chocolate round cakes while the person I'm related to by marriage and our four daughters were out running errands preparing for a birthday party. To our tremendous surprise, for a dog that certainly could counter surf but never did, ended up eating most of the birthday desserts and never missed a beat. That was the one and only time Dallas ever ate human food.
Hmm.
Wow. Too bad dogs can't talk. Would love to know why. Now we have two golden doodles, Hazel and Shiloh, and nothing to report yet. From Eric Gawler in Silver Spring, Maryland, on October 24th, 1992, the woman to whom I've been related by marriage for 27 years and I went on our first date to see none other than Glengarry Glen Ross. Why she has stayed with me after that rollicking fun festival flick is beyond me, but that is much to my benefit. And that is the reason enough to remember the film. Our first dog, Shiva.
Shiva, the goddess
Shiva,
of death.
Shiva, yeah. A rescue English pointer ate multiple TV remotes and slippers. Our second dog, Roman, counter-surfed for sticks of butter. Our current dog, Moby, despite being a grade A, unparalleled chewer for whom no stuffed toy lasts more than 5 minutes, leaves our household goods alone. Aside from occasional toy fluff or plastic shards, I can't recall any ribbon, strings, or rope dangling from anywhere. Fortunate for us. Oh, and so we'll do one more. We'll do Steve the Sycophant.
Okay.
The stories of unusual pet meals reminded me of a long-ago neighbor's cat. She had a big tomcat weighing about 20 pounds who went by the name of Bradley. He had a passion for candy, so his owner made sure to keep any sweets in the apartment locked up. One afternoon while I was helping her carry in some groceries, she let out a scream. Bradley was lying on the kitchen floor with a hugely distended abdomen. Beside him, this is what happened to the Puna. This is the Puna. Beside him was an open Tupperware container which had previously contained at least 2 pounds of peppermints. Bradley looked at us, opened his mouth, and let loose a peppermint-scented belch which rattled the windows. This was followed for several days by peppermint excretions from another orifice. No ribbons involved. Bradley did recover. But from that point on, according to his owner, lost all interest in candy. I was very impressed by Bradley's abilities, needing on several occasions to use pliers to open up recalcitrant Tupperware. Keep on potting, Steve the Sycophant. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
Look at the Michigan man. Right. Look at the Michigan man.
Get up and get yourself together.
My friend, my friend, when I saw you yesterday, I knew something was not right. There was a look on your face that I wanted to replace. I could feel you were hurting inside. This world, it can be so cold. Seems like it tries to hurt you every day. So don't quarantine yourself, staying in bed ain't gonna help. Brother, don't be blue, we're all waiting on you.
Get up and get yourself together.
Time to be here. All you gotta do.
used to be a loner, I kept it to myself. But lately I have found a need to lean on someone else. Searching for a person, still I'm on my own. I used to be a loner, now I'm just alone. Had a friend in Clarksville, she came by from time to time. She swore that I was crazy, never paid her any mind. I went to go see my friend and they tell me she's all gone. I had a friend in Clarksville, now I'm just alone. And I'm telling myself I ought to know better than to give it all away in a tune. For better or for worse, I'd sing another verse, but the song ended too soon. To be a dreamer, I'd keep the world at bay. But it seems to me reality blew my dreams away. Searching for a reason, and still I wonder why. Oh, I used to be a dreamer, I watched all my dreams die. Telling myself that life ought to be better than just talking to the man on the moon. He don't really listen, just perpetually glistens in the nights are getting blacker than blue. Now I'm just alone.